Welcome once again to Sunday School. Sunday School at Grace Baptist Church. Excuse me. Today we want to deal with God the Father. God the Father. It is extremely important that you hear the end of this message. The most important thing I say is going to be right at the end. The first time we see God proclaiming himself to be a father is found in Exodus chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. Exodus 4, verses 22 and 23. The Lord God, speaking to Moses, says, "Then you shall say to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn.'" God the Father reveals himself as the father of his son, Israel. The full truth of verse 22, even the full revelation, requires the following scripture references. Please listen up. You might want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Now, I'm going to be giving you a rather lengthy opening, giving you the context. I'm going to actually be reading little portions of the scripture up to verse 13. After Jesus was born, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard, he was troubled. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, sent them to Bethlehem. And he said to them, "When you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. The star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the young child with Mary his mother, they fell down and worshiped him. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now to our two key verses. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he, Joseph, arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." The prophet saying, by the word of the Lord, out of Egypt, I called my son. That is a reference to Hosea 11:1. When we see Hosea 11:1 in its entirety, the eternal relationship of God the Father and God the Son is revealed. And as we follow scriptural revelation, other scripture references given us by God the Holy Spirit, who is indeed the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son. When we do this, this is what we see. Hosea 11:1. Please listen closely. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. There is a great treasure of eternal truth in this one sentence spoken by God the Father. With the New Testament reference of Christ fulfilling this Old Testament prophecy, Christ is clearly identified as Israel, the Son of God. Now, how are we to understand this more fully? To put it as simply as possible, without getting too complicated, let me present the following. Christ, as the eternal Son of God, is the preeminent, the supreme Israel of God in the eternal purpose of God. The elect of God, the people of God, those for whom Christ died, are the church, the bride of Christ. As Christ's bride, the church bears Christ's name. As they are called Christians, likewise, God's elect are called the Israel of God. In Galatians 6:16, as his bride, they are one with Christ. As God the Father called Israel his son, he called the Lord Jesus out of Egypt to die a sacrificial death for the church. So also, God calls the church, the Israel of God, out of the bondage of sin to die to self, following Christ. Without the Father, there is no Son. Without the Father and the Son, there is no Spirit of the Father or Spirit of the Son, the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the one true God. There is no other. And I only know one way to respond to that, and that's to quote Romans 11:33 through 36, as I've done many times. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to the one who gave? For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom glory forever. Of the Trinity, listen up. Of the Trinity, and you know I like to call it the triunity. God the Father is referred to by most men of God as the first person of the Trinity. May I add this? The lead person in the triunity. Now, this is not an erroneous conclusion when we consider the following. So again, please listen. Christ's submission to the Father, obedience to the Father, God the Father, is undeniable. I want us to go to John chapter 5 and read a few verses. John chapter 5, verses 18, 19, and 30. Jesus says this, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, whatever the Father does, the Son also does in like manner." Christ is submitted to the Father and eternally so. Now, as we've read those two verses, we move to verse 30. "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." As he said before he went to die for his people, the people of God, the children of God, he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." The Holy Spirit as well is subject to both the Father and the Son. Again in John, I should have held my place there. We're going to go to chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look at several verses here. Verses 16 and 26. The Spirit. As Christ submits to the Father, the Spirit submits to the Father and the Son. John 14, verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, says Christ, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Now verse 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." The Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of the Son submits to the Father and the Son. That the three persons of the Godhead are equal, though we've been talking about submission, is revealed clearly as well in the Holy Scriptures. Listen up now. The co-equalness of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In Philippians 2:6, Christ thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Of course, that is God the Father. Now, why do I take that liberty to say God the Father? Because Christ said this in John 14:9. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 have these words in them. God has in these last days spoken to us by a Son, who being the brightness of glory and the express image of His person. God the Father has communicated with us through His Son, Jesus Christ, who is exactly like His Father. God the Son is equal with God the Father, but as His Son, He has always, circle that, underline it, but as His Son, He has always submitted to His Father. From eternity, though equal with God, the eternal Son has submitted to His eternal Father, and this is understood from what we see in Psalm 40, verses 7 and 8. Speaking of Himself, Christ says, "Then I said, behold, I come." Now, Psalms, remember this. This is many, many years before He would come in the flesh. "Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God." In eternity, before Christ came, He delighted to do the will of His Father. Now, what I just said is authorized by the apostle where this psalm is said to speak of Christ. And if you'd like to look at that, look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. It expresses just what I told you. God the Son has always and will always submit to His Father. Remember Malachi 3:6. "For I, the Lord, I do not change." As Christ is equal to the Father, even so the Holy Spirit of God is equal to God, because, this is really quite simple, because He is the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son. He is God, the Holy Spirit. And again, that's clearly revealed. God, the Holy Spirit, clearly revealed in Acts 5, verses 3 and 4. We'll not go there. We've covered it several times. Matthew 10:20 speaks of the Spirit of God the Father speaking in us, making the Spirit equal to God the Father. To Christians, Galatians 4:6 says, "God," and I'm inserting the Father, "has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, Father, Father." This makes the Holy Spirit equal to God the Son. Nonetheless, the Holy Spirit always has been and always will be submissive to the Father and the Son. All 3. Our God. Now listen to me. Listen. All three are God, but perform their perfect roles, their perfect purposes in the Godhead seamlessly, S-E-A-M, without seams, and in perfect unity. They are one. I don't understand that. I do believe it. God does not change. Christians, people of God, we have a Father, the one in the heavens, even God the Father. As the resurrected Christ said to Mary Magdalene, fresh upon his resurrection, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. John 20, verse 17. Our Savior said this in Isaiah 8:18, and it was repeated in Hebrews 2:13. Christ says, here am I and the children whom you have given me. God the Father giving children to Jesus Christ. And how does that work? He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4. The elect of God have been the children of God in the purpose of God for all eternity. In time on earth, Christ said this, recorded in John 6:37. All, A-L-L, not one less, but all that the Father gives me shall come to me. The children God has given to Christ, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means send away. We come to Christ in order to get to our Father. God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6. What can the Spirit of the Son in our hearts do but cry, Abba, Father? Christ in us, by His Spirit, causing us, as united to Him, to cry out to our Father, to love and seek fellowship with our Father through Christ and His Spirit. Romans 8:16. You received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Now, before closing, I would be unfaithful to God's word if I did not look at 2 Corinthians chapters 6 and 7. 1 Corinthians. I'm going to take that back. Why don't we look to 2 Corinthians? We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians. But right now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapters 6 and 7. We're going to read several verses in chapter 6 and then the first verse of chapter 7, beginning at verse 14 in chapter 6. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You see, I must mention this. If you and I would call ourselves children of God, some things have to match up in our lives to make such a statement, such a claim. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial of Satan? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are a temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Folks, we cannot leave the world, but we cannot participate in sin or approve of it. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear, in the reverential fear of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Romans 8:14. And folks, they're going to follow what we just read. Remember, God does not change. God the Father will always be the Father. God the Son, Jesus Christ, will always obey the Father. God the Holy Spirit will always submit to the Father and the Son. Folks, here comes that close. If you've already turned it off, you're not even hearing what I'm saying now. But here comes that close that I told you about that you need to hear. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading verses 24 through 28. Then the end, the last day, folks. When Christ, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy will be destroyed, death. For he has put all things under his feet. Now listen closely. But when he says all things are put under him, It is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now this means that God the Father put all things under Christ. And God the Father is accepted when all things, among those things that would be put under Christ. Because God is the Father, Christ is the Son. The Son always submits to the Father. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be, now listen to me, I think most of your Bibles say subject. The word is actually subjected. It's in the passive voice. Then the Son himself will also be subjected to him, that's God the Father, who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. You see, the Father is subjecting his Son. That is a place of obedience that Christ must be in, and that's exactly where he is. He's the Son. He's equal, but he's submissive. Now that verse 27, where it's saying that the Father is not put into subjection. This reflects what Christ said in Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given me. By whom? By God the Father. All authority in heaven and on earth was given to him by God the Father. The Son is still submissive, though he has all authority. Verse 28, this is where I end. This is overwhelmingly important. Where Christ subjects himself by being subjected to the Father, that God the Father may again be that first person of the Godhead with Christ in submission, though the Father always has been and always will be. Christ submits to the Father as the Father's eternal Son. This is Christ's major purpose. Are you with me? Christ's major purpose is to submit to his Father. For in that submission, I pray you're listening, in that submission to the Father, he was obedient unto death on the cross, resulting in salvation for God's elect and his own resurrection from the dead. God the Father was satisfied with his Son's obedient sacrifice. Amen.